I'm Anne Strange Jamson. We're talking about compulsions this hour.
The sensation is analogous to being held at gunpoint. You have to do whatever it takes to make that feeling go away. So you do.
Ethan Smith has had OCD as long as he can remember. When he was little, he says it manifested in pretty traditional ways.
I had what's called magical thinking, so I was afraid, let's say, if I didn't tap my toothbrush two times in each hand, a train would crash in Europe, or people would die, or something bad would happen to people that I love. I actually had one where I had to stare at a girl's boobs for 13 seconds without getting caught. And it would always come up like when I was in synagogue. And if I didn't make it to 13, I'd have to do it again. But I also had to not get caught. In retrospect, that might not have been OCD at all. That just had been becoming a man.
But as Ethan got older, his OCD got worse. In high school, he became an extreme hypochondriac, terrified of getting sick. He carried a thermometer with him at all times. He took his temperature 60, 70 times a day. He went through years of therapy. He was hospitalized, at one point misdiagnosed as psychotic, before he and his parents finally found a treatment that worked, thanks in part to the OCD Institute, or OCDI, in Boston.
So the right treatment for OCD is what's called CBT ERP. The ERP is called exposure response prevention. What it is the person that has OCD is exposed to their greatest fear. You start very, very small, and you slowly work up to your biggest fears. Through a series of events, my OCD had shifted from fear of illness to I was afraid I was going to hit my head and cause a bleed, like a brain bleed. I would wrap my hands in the elastic of my underwear to protect myself. And so the first ERP I did was I went to this clinic and they explained to me what they'd be doing. So I sat down and he hands me a piece of paper and a pencil and he says, I want you to number the paper from 1 to 100. So I did. And I was like, what are we going to do with this? He's like, I want you to hit your head on 100 objects around the office. And I was like, excuse me? I would go up to each object and like, it would take me at least 5 minutes to get my head close enough to touch it. I would touch it with maybe the force of a feather. And then toward the end, another therapist there came out of the office, heard what I was doing, and says, oh, well, let me help. And she takes a fire extinguisher off of the wall and hits me in the head with it. Like, up to that point, I was fine because I wasn't hitting my head hard enough to hurt myself. But in my mind, she had literally just killed me. It was January 2nd, 2011. It was the day after New Year's. I wish you could see the pictures. I was really just a shell at this point. My hair overgrown, I'd lost 100 pounds. I looked like I had stage 4 cancer from a mental illness. It was absolutely insane. And I went to go see my psychologist. We were doing a new exposure, which was to hit my head as hard as I could. And I refused to do it. It sounded crazy. You could really hurt yourself, like legitimately hurt yourself. And he said, well, if you don't want to get well, then I'm just calling security. So I did. And he was really excited. He was like, awesome job. Now I want you to go into town and go get a haircut. The reason he told me that was because the whole idea is to feel the anxiety and to keep living. So I went into the city, which was like a half mile walk down from the campus. There was tons of snow on the ground, ice, slippery, freezing. And I was sitting in the chair getting a haircut, and I just couldn't stop thinking about the bleed in my brain that he'd caused and that I really was gonna die this time. And I got so freaked out that I was convinced that I was gonna die and needed to get to a hospital. Well, the only problem with that was I'd signed a contract with my therapist and my parents that I would be cut off completely, considered dead to them and every other miserable thing if I'd gone to a hospital. And that was their way of preventing me from getting my head checked out. Of note, so like somebody would wash their hands because they feel dirty, I was getting CAT scans because I thought something was wrong with my head. I mean, that's how severe it was. So that's why the contract was in place, to keep me from going to hospitals. But then I thought to myself, well, you know, what if I could get the hospital to come to me? (Clears throat) So I decided to stage an accident. And I walked about a half mile down from the barber shop, and I ducked behind an apartment building, and I found like a jagged rock. So I cut my head open, and then I walked a little ways and turned a corner and went to a not so busy street. And when no one was there, I literally just fell face first into a snowbank. And I laid there for 25 minutes until a passerby walked up to me and shaked me. Hey, buddy, you okay? So they took me to the hospital. I got a CAT scan. I was fine. And I went back to the OCD that night about 9 o'clock. And first of all, I had this relief in me, like literally like I just shot up heroin. But I also felt like I hadn't done anything wrong. Like I saved my life in my head. I went into the office of my therapist, and there was a phone sitting on the table, and we were having a conference call between my therapist and my parents. And they said, well, your parents have sold everything you own to help pay for therapy, and you're going to stay in Boston and create a new life. In exchange for that, you can continue to get outpatient treatment and have your life. Good luck. Just to get the other side of perspective, it was described to my parents as, your son has a 50% chance he can make this work, or he may kill himself. But you're out of options. Ultimately, my parents decided to give me a shot at getting better. The next day, I got kicked out. So I found what was pretty much a crack house on the south side of Boston on Craigslist for $400 a month. And it was terrifying. People were doing drugs in the house. It was absolutely terrifying. And I went up to my room and I closed the door and I put my dresser up against the door and I got into bed and I laid there for 6 days. And I didn't move. I was consumed with fear and anxiety and OCD thoughts, and I felt abandoned. I couldn't believe that my parents and doctors had given up on me. About 6 days later, got to the point where I was probably gonna die just because I wasn't taking care of myself and I wasn't eating and I wasn't drinking and I wasn't doing anything. I was going to the bathroom in the bed. And that's when I had the epiphany. I realized that nobody was coming to save me. It had to be me. I had to do it. I remember standing up out of bed. You gotta go to the grocery store and get food. Oh my God, what if I slip on the ice and hit my head, and I got all nervous and sweating, and I was about to get back in bed, and I was like, you have to risk it. And that was sort of the beginning of the eventual journey out of hell. Slowly but surely, you know, I started getting better, and I moved to a house where they just did drugs. They didn't sell them. It was much better. And, you know, I started having a life. And literally at the end of August, I went in for therapy and I said, can I leave now? Like, can I go to LA and follow my dreams and do what I've been wanting to do since I was born? And they were like, yeah. I was always sort of OCD slave. I always worked for OCD since I was born. So when I got better, people were like, we're so glad you got your life back. I'm like, no, I was reborn. Like 100%. I did not get my life back. I didn't have a life compared to what I have now. OCD does not play a role in my life today. Like, if I check in with my thoughts right now, I have zero OCD thoughts. They're really just whispers, and I ignore them very, very quickly because, for me, my bottom was so low that it's just like, you know what? All of the options that I'm afraid of are way better than the life I just came from.
Ethan Smith is a writer, director, and producer who lives in Los Angeles.